Lord in, and I welcome all of you and all those that are live streaming as well, and I'm grateful to be able to be here today. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, so thank you, Connor, for bringing me a little bit of water, because I'm probably going to need it this morning, but I'm really blessed to be here, and I'm excited about this time of year and how we don't have to deal with the heat. It's going to get a little warm this week, but looks like we've made it, and it has really been refreshing in the mornings, waking up and going to work. And I really didn't have the opportunity to be here last Sunday. I was having a little bit of a hard time walking. I have had the opportunity to be able to check one of the items off my bucket list, and I've shared that with a few people, but that's the title of my sermon today, is that God will take you on an adventure. And one of the things that was on my bucket list was to be able to go and to hike rim to rim at the Grand Canyon. And that was really awesome. My buddy Sam and I, Sam is a pretty good friend of mine. Jose knows him. We go ride bikes together, and he's quite the hiker, and he decided that he was gonna go hike the rim, and we had this plan for months on end, and so we actually got to fulfill that opportunity to be able to experience that, and it was my first time, and I really, really enjoyed it despite how much it hurt to walk on Sunday. So I had to spend a lot of time doing stretches and using the foam roller and over and over and over again, but it was definitely an experience, and some of the things that I experienced and understood, and as you're doing something of that magnitude, which is probably not so difficult for some people, but for somebody that's never done it before, it was pretty, I had a lot of anxiety going into it, because one of the problems that I deal with as a person physically is I tend to cramp up a lot, and I was, one of my fears was to not be able to trudge through this giant, enormous, marvelous canyon that the Lord gave us and make it without having those type of issues. But God did bless me, and I had a couple small little issues, but for the most part it was truly a blessing. And I came to the conclusion that when you do something where you push your body to the limits, to the extreme limits, that reflecting back on it, it gives me a greater appreciation of what the human body can do, what it can endure. And it had just really humbled me in a way to where I can just appreciate so much more of those things that God gives us in our lives, not just physically, but also with the beauty and the creation that He has, and to be able to experience that, whether you're just standing there looking out in its vastness, or whether you're crazy and trying to go across it and make a shuttle to get back to where you started. And I'm going to walk you through that, because as I was reflecting back on this, I really just, you know, I was awestruck about all the emotions and the things that you experience in there. It's really, I have pictures, but, and I don't want this just to be a documentary of Gary's trip across Grand Canyon, because there's much more to it than that. Because I was thinking about a lot of those things and God's people and what they experience, and the hardships, the difficulties, the travels in life, and how interesting it is that when we actually put ourselves in positions to where it can be extremely difficult, that our sense of reliance on the Lord is so much more. And so I just wanted to start off with showing everybody here This is the view from, it's called Bright Angel Trail, and this is from the south rim looking north. And let me see if I could do the laser pointer thing here. Maybe not. Here it is. So I'm gonna do this. Look at that. Look at that. So when you technology, I love it. So when you're looking out, you see this is the area here where you're actually going to go down into, and it's about 3 miles down into that into the Grand Canyon. And even over here, as it curls over and you look up here and you think that's the top, it's really not the top. And the north rim is actually higher than the south rim. And so there's a little, to put into perspective here, there's this, this is called Plateau Point right here. And I thought this was gonna be part of the trail that we hike on, but it's not. It's a break off of the trail to be able to go out to this point and look off the vista, which is really neat in itself. But when you're trying to go across in one day, you really don't have time to do that. But this here, this Plateau Point is basically 6 miles from the top. And it looks like it's like right there. I'm like, oh, that's nothing. We'll get across this thing in a heartbeat. And not so much the case. Friday we arrived, so I left work a little bit early, and my buddy Sam and I, we left work and arrived up there. You can see the sun setting here, and we got there, had dinner, and we actually slept in his Prius in the parking lot. And so we got up at 2 a.m. and started on this trail. Basically, I looked at my Garmin, how much sleep I got. It was 4 hours of sleep, and my body battery was at 32%. So here we go. And it was quite the experience in itself to sleep in a Prius. Like, it was not the most comfortable thing that you want to experience. And but really, that 4 hours of sleep was probably actually less than that because of the fact that you're just laying there. But 25.33 miles is what my watch clocked, because you run around a little bit when you're down in there, shuffling around and doing stuff, you know, changing socks and whatnots. But the total ascent, so when you get to the other side, to the north rim, it was 6,500 and 1 foot shy of 50 feet. So 6,549 feet. And it took 11 hours and 2 minutes to complete. And I burned on my watch, it said that I burned 4,580 calories. That was really interesting, because one of the things that you understand that you can do is it's acceptable to be able to eat all the junk food you want when you're doing this. So we had Fritos and Pringles and beef jerky and Clif Bars and anything that would keep salt in you, that's what we were eating. But one of the things that I really was thankful about is my friend Sam. I wouldn't have done this without him. And I think it's important that our relationships, I could turn this off, our relationships that we create, especially like with today's media and stuff like that, you see like people get on their Twitter feed and they have X amount of people that they are friends with. Well, that's something that I've learned in this experience, that what a true friend really is. And I'm thankful that God puts these people in our lives, because Sam is a true friend. And it helped me be able to know, this is my friend Sam right here with the thumbs up in front of the trailhead there. That's Sam. And he is just a really super, he's a faithful person, a really nice guy. And again, without him, I wouldn't have done this, because I just, the fear of the unknown is within myself. And to have somebody there kind of like as my guide, it was really something that helped me be able to say, yes, let's go and do this. You know, he's a very kind-hearted person. And we'll get into that a little bit more, because, you know, one of the things that Sam did was he packed all these extra supplies, right? And that one of the things that we learned in this trip is that one of the books that my son has given me, Never Finished by David Goggins, is I've learned that ounces equal pounds and pounds equal pain. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we get into this adventure. But just kind of wanted to share with you guys that, you know, it was really neat to be able to do this. I just wanted some quick statistical facts about, I like wildlife a lot, and it's really neat because you kind of have every climate, like, in this one little spot. So bird species, 450 species, 91 mammals, 18 species of fish, 58 species of reptiles, bugs, 1,443 species, actually 292 different types of butterflies and moths, and 1,737 species of plants there. So really cool to be able to like start going through this. And starting off at 2 a.m. in the morning, you do experience quite a few bugs because it's dark and you got a headlamp and all the bugs want to come right to your face. And an interesting little thing with technology is, you know, as you're I was swatting bugs away and really, like, it doesn't really do you any good because they just keep, I said, this stinking moth is wanting to hike the whole Grand Canyon with us. And it was a different moth probably 150 different times. But I got a quick laugh out of my friend Sam because every time he would like swat a moth or something like that, he had this headlamp that is photosensitive to where if you go like that, it shuts it off and then it'll shut it, turn it back on. And so he swat a moth and his light would turn off and then turn back on. It was pretty comical, but I really know that the ability to be able to do something like this, not everybody can do it. But in all things, God gives us abilities to be able to do things. And I'm really thankful that, you know, this is something that everybody could go to and enjoy God's beauty. A couple $100 for us to be able to go down and get across. And the most expensive thing is taking the shuttle back with it, which is worth every penny. But, you know, there's a lot of, that's one of the things I was thinking about is that there's a lot of things in the world that people pay so much money to do, and just to go out and to be in places that God created and God put for there for us costs very little money, and you can enjoy it so much. They have all the services that go along with that, like if you just want to go up and enjoy the view, shuttles to take you to different viewpoints. It's all provided by the park. You got to pay to get in the parks, like $35 a day. But really just a nice, wonderful place that God has created for those things for us to enjoy. And again, you know, one person, one individual builds up a great friendship that far surpasses the feeling that you would get from having 50,000 million followers on Twitter. Because I looked at that, not looked at it, I look at that as if, you know, there's no substance there. There's no substance to those meaningless things of the attention people strive for. But when you take time, when you spend time with somebody that is like-minded and you can talk and you can discuss and you can thank God together for all that has been given, that's what God wants us to be able to do. So I think that's important to be able to find friends of the faith and to share experiences together and to be able to grow in relationships where God puts people in places for you and with you to be able to support you and to increase your faith and those things that he provides and to show of his greatness and to be able to have, you know, a kind-hearted man that is willing to stop. And it's like, you can see when people are struggling, and Sam was the first one that, hey, are you okay? Are you all right? Is there anything you need? I got everything in my pack. And just a very kind-hearted person. And so that led me to think of this scripture here in 1 Timothy 6:17-19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly to enjoy all things, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And I think about that, and that's one of those things that going through and traveling into the vastness of this canyon, that it's easy to get lost. I mean, if you really think about it, there's people that get lost. I looked at the statistics of all the rescues that there are. There's people that that can't make it out, and they don't have the capability to do so. They get injured, they get hurt, they get all cramped up, whatever the case may be. They don't realize the situation that they got themselves in. But this is where, you know, being rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to be able to help people, is so important, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand a lot of times what they get themselves into. And there's the ability for us to be able to know that through our experience that we could give them that what they need, and it's given to us from God. These are riches that far surpass what the world provides, but it helps me be able to hold on to those things that truly give me the ability to understand that I have a foundation. God has given us a foundation that is immovable. You know, this canyon is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper, and it the river may eventually dry up one day. We never know. But we know that God is always there, that God wants us to always take those steps towards Him, to be ready to distribute, to be able to share His gospel, is something that is part of that journey that we have in this life. And it's amazing that, you know, as you're going through, you're starting off in the dark, and the new day comes, and we were already in quite a ways, and this is the first, it was actually a lot darker than this. I don't know how it looks on there, but on my computer it looks pretty bright. But this is the first light, which was interesting, because this is the first sight of the Colorado. We came up to the Colorado, and my buddy Sam and I were like, okay, let's stop here and have breakfast, beef jerky and Clif Bars, and electrolytes. And it was a time for us to be able to just sit there and to enjoy this beautiful creation that God has given us. And it was really interesting too. I kind of skipped over the part of going through the darkness of the vastness of this canyon with no lights in there whatsoever. And being able to look back, and we started it too. We were the first ones down the trail. And at about 3 o'clock, we could look back up and you could see the tiny little lights coming down, where it was actually these three young Australian boys that were running the Grand Canyon. And it was like, I almost thought it was a UFO at one point. I was like, man, those guys, that's just moving too fast to be human beings. That's gotta be like a UFO or something. But just the expanse of the darkness out there, and to be able to see the Milky Way, and I'm not lying when I say that, I said to Sam, I said, boy, wouldn't that be neat if the Lord showed us a falling star right now, and boop, there's a little falling star, which I'm probably sure happens more times than not when you're actually out of the city and you don't have the light pollution. But just a wonderful experience, and being able to continue as part of it in the dark is part of the experience, which is kind of, you don't see anything, which is kind of neat in itself, because you're focused on what's right ahead of you. And I know that before we got to this portion of the trail here on Bright Angel, that there's a very difficult part going up, and it's not so difficult going down unless you got bad knees. And we're in this complete utter darkness, and all you see is like right in front of you. And Sam was saying, boy, I wish you could really see this, because this is going to be like one of the real quick descents. It's actually 500 foot descent in a half a mile. They call it lightning bolt switchbacks, and the name of that descent is called the devil's corkscrew. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, boy, you know, we're here and it's utter darkness, and we're at a place called the devil's corkscrew. Boy, I just don't like the name of this. And I think about that, and you know, how fast one can fall into the darkness in our lives. And you know, I don't know what the significance as to why somebody called this the devil's corkscrew, but really, you know, I was like, wow, this is really something that as a person we can head down so fast into the utter darkness and find ourselves in a really dark place. But you know, what do we do if we're down in there? We keep trudging forward. You know, you get to a point in these places, not just on a hike or in our adventures, but in life itself, that if we're in this dark place, you just got to keep pushing forward to get to the light. And it's interesting because right after Devil's Corkscrew, we did this little windabout, and we came up to the river, and the sun was coming up, and it was so peaceful and so relaxing. I shared with the class this morning that, you know, Psalm 23, he lead us to the waters and to find rest. And this is kind of like what I was thinking about right here was, oh man, you know, I don't know if the good Lord just has that as part of our human nature, but or if it's just because we live in desert places, but when we come up to a creek, to a stream, to a river in Arizona, boy, it's just like so relaxing, and you just want to enjoy it, you know, because it's just, there's something that comes over you that brings that refreshing feeling of being able to get relief. And whether it's because the human body and nature has always needed and depended on water, maybe that's part of how God created us, is that we know that the water is such a important source in our life that we establish our lives around it. This is part of who we are, and actually what is the body is created by. And so there was that sense of just revitalization of coming there, being able to sit down for a little bit, relax, and to enjoy the sun coming up. And it says in 3 Nephi 91:92 of chapter 5, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore, those things which were of old time, which were under the law, and me are all fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that you should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And this, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, if you find yourself in utter darkness and you don't think that there's no way out, always remember that God will give you a new day. The sun will rise on you, and God loves all of his children to where we have opportunity to be able to continue on, to be able to trudge through and to make it to where we are in a safe place, to where we are where God wants to bring us. You know, but we have to bridge that gap. We have to bridge that gap between us and God. And this is, there's a black bridge, which is right up from here, which is the first bridge that is built. This is called the Silver Bridge that goes across this Colorado River. And it is really interesting to, I read a little bit of history on this. The mules cannot go on this bridge because it's not wide enough. So they built this one in the 1960s, and the first one I think was built in 1938, the Black Bridge, which is right up from here, to be able to do, if you look here, this is the pipe. This is the Trans Canyon Pipeline, and it's exposed here, and it runs underneath the bridge. This actually is a pipe that flows from the north rim to the south rim, to provide the water to all the people along the way, your fill stations, which is critical. We know that they had the big storm up there, and we were kind of basing, you could see where they had to fix places of this pipe because it, all the rain and the washout and the rocks rolling across it and breaking the pipe, you could see where it did the damage and they had to fix it. So we weren't even sure. We had to find out on the report if there was water at all the fill stations because you gotta have the water. And this is a very interesting pipeline because it's 23 miles long that was put in by hand. And it produces about 500,000 gallons of water a day from the north rim to the south rim. So when you go to the south rim, you got all the lodging, the restaurants and all that stuff. That's where the water comes from, is springs from the north end of the rim. And this gap that we have here is vital for us to be able to continue on. And I look at that, and I look at God in our lives. You know, it's vital for us to be able to cross these difficult times in our lives, and that we rely on God to bridge that gap between us through Jesus and God the Father. And one of the things is, if you walk on this bridge, it is really, the water looks very peaceful and nice. Like you just want to jump in. And as you get out across this bridge, there is a lot of water moving really fast. And it can take you away. It can sweep you away. And, you know, such is life. We could get swept away in so many things in life. But that bridge that keeps us safe is Christ Jesus, that allows us to be able to have that relationship with God and to be able to get to those places safely. It says here, and I just put these, and I know that, you know, scriptures, we use them in relation to situations in our life that might not have the exact same meaning. We take these snippets, but you know, these are some of the things that help us that, you know, scriptures are important to us. Scriptures help us be able to relate, to understand better, to reflect upon, to recall to God or to recall those things that God has put upon our hearts. And in 2 Nephi chapter 1, 122, 123, it says, I would look that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. You know, I was telling Sam, there's choices that we all have, and I was joking around when I said, boy, I'm going to get halfway across that bridge and I'm going to jump in that water. I am like salty, sweaty, like, and it just looks so good. And he was like, you really don't want to do that. And it's just because of the dangers that lurk below. And just like with a lot of situations we get in, we just need to stay on the path that God has given us to keep us safe. So truly important that we do that. And remember, you know, that is the should be the focal point in our lives, is building, having that bridge between us and God through his son Jesus. And so this bridge, you'll pop across this. You got to go up. There's a little fill station for water right across there. You can see the little green area. They got some buildings. They're doing a lot of construction where the piles of rocks are over there by this building over here. And we stop and fill there. But just up the trail from this is a place called Phantom Ranch, which was very nice, very beautiful. People could go stay there, and that's kind of the halfway point where we stopped and ate and changed our socks out, because after that, the work gets very arduous. And so after Phantom Ranch, there's this place, it's called The Box, and it's basically because it's a box canyon in a gorge. And this really is interesting because you could get turned around in here real quick, because it's just like straight up on each side. And you kind of lose your bearings a little bit. If it was a cloudy day, you'd probably really lose your bearings. But you could kind of get a perception of where you're at, where the sun is, because we had partly cloudy skies. But This was an interesting part because this is a little bit of a section to where it's actually flat. You're in the bottom of it. I was really surprised at, like, when you hike the Grand Canyon, it seems like it's more like a V. Like, you're going down and then you're going right back up. And I was like, I thought we were going to be doing like 15 miles of flat here, and it's not so much the case. And this part in the box, we were really refreshed because you get your carbohydrates built up and you're ready to go. Okay, let's keep going. And one of the things that once we got a perspective of where we're at, and as you get through the box, you start heading up and up and up and up for 5 miles. But I was looking at my watch in the box and I was like, hey, Sam, the shuttle is supposed to be up on the North Rim at what time? And it was, I think, 9:30 here, and he was, yeah, it's gonna be up there at 1:30. And I was like, we gotta do 5 miles uphill at 12-15 degrees with about a 6,500 foot elevation gain. I said, we need to start running. And he's like, I can't run. So I was like, what do you mean you can't run? He's like, well, this backpack, it's like really heavy, and this is, and I just, I'm not gonna be able to do it. And so this is one of those times that I was just like, okay, well, let's share the load here. And so I said, give me your backpack. You know, we got to make up some time or else we're gonna miss the shuttle to get us back to the South Rim. And so we were sharing the load, and I put on his backpack, and I'm not lying when I say it felt like I put a boat anchor on my back. I was like, oh my word, okay. And so we just had to go. And I was concerned at this point, but at the same time, I know that I wasn't losing perspective on, you know, what it is we needed to do and what we needed to accomplish to be able to get to where we needed to go because of the clock and our time restrictions. And so, you know, this is one of the things that I just realized, hey, we have to start thinking outside of the box now. Like, literally, we should be outside of this box by now. And it was no time to be weary. And in Galatians chapter 6, 9, and 10, let us not be weary in well-doing. Hey, let me get your pack. Let's go. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And boy, I was feeling like I was going to faint at times. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of the faith. And I was thinking about this, and part of me, you know, was thinking, boy, Sam, why did you pack all this stuff for, you know, but I understand. It's because he has such a good heart, and he was willing to carry the load to be able to help other people. And it was just so easy to say, let me see your pack. And he put on my pack and he's like, oh boy, yeah, let's go. And so we just started trugging along, and part of the goal was to run for 8 minutes and to walk for 2. And we did that three times, and we got through the box. And it really helped us be able to pick up lost time. And you know, I was willing to carry that pack for as long as I needed to be able to help my brother out. And that's one of the things that I know and I've learned, even with relationships here, is that in our relationships here, that if we're willing to continue to trudge along and willing to work towards the goal of what we have in common together here is to get out of the canyon, that even no matter where a relationship is at, a friendship is at, that you work through those things and you help each other out. And it reestablishes, it really recreates a type of new relationship. And I think that God sees that with his children as well, that, you know, these things that we do, these places that we get ourselves in, that, you know, sometimes the Lord looks down on us and says, what are you doing there? You know, what are you doing there? And shows us the way and is there with us in every step. And once we get through that part, you know, he's helping us be able to carry the load. He's making our burdens light. And we get to a place to where we can refocus, regroup, start seeing clearly what's ahead of us and what we need to do again, have that clarity of thought. And God helps us through those things. That's the household of faith. And whether it's members, non-members of the church, brothers and sisters, friends, family, if we're willing to stay focused on the path that God gives us, you know, carrying the load, understanding that, yeah, even if times were difficult, even if we went through dark places together, you know, that God will bring us to the good place, the place to where relationships are reestablished, friendships are reborn, we're refreshed, we're renewed, and we're making it to the goal together. And I thank God for that. I really do. He really helped me be able to understand some of these things in a more deeper sense as we had to endure through this 25 miles and getting to the 5 miles of pain. It was a new kind of pain. But I thank God, and then I came to understand that, you know, these are some of the things that we honor God in our lives. We give God the honor and the glory for those things that he helps us be able to see and understand and shows us new capabilities that we can do and what we can accomplish. And does it make me feel higher minded or anything like that? No, it actually makes me feel more humble and more submissive to him. It's really interesting experience when you go through these things. And I'll share some of my emotions that I had further down the trail. You'll see that here to come. But I wanted to read this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, get out of the box, get out of the devil's corkscrew, keep going. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And, you know, I think about the youthful lust, and I'm not bagging on selfies at all. But it's kind of interesting when you're in these places, and man, like, I can't even hardly do a selfie. I tried to do a couple as I was doing, but it's like, it's nice to put things in perspective when you experience them because of why they're there and why God created them, rather than try to make yourself the focal point of the attention. And I found that really, really peculiar because, and I'm not bagging on youth, because a lot of the younger ones, man, they're taking selfies all over the place on this trail, and you know, it's definitely something you want to document, but it almost seems as if it was like, I was like, come on, let's go. And but it's something that I give God the glory of being able to do, and it's because of him and how he's changed my life that really I just wanted to take it all in. The vastness and the beauty of it and the experience and the emotions, a selfie doesn't do any justice. So this is what it looks like more. So as we got through the box and we started going up the hill, we got to Cottonwood. And after Cottonwood, there's this place called the Red Bridge. And there's Red Wall Bridge. And there's this point, it's called Manzanita, is one of the rest stops. And this here is basically, you see the smudge on the picture of the mountain there. That's probably just like some of my grime on the camera. I wanted to take a picture of the waterfall back there. I was like, oh, wow. And you can actually go to Ribbon Falls, and we didn't have time to do that. I was like, oh, man, maybe next time we'll go do that. But this is kind of like, this is where it's getting to where things are starting to become very difficult. 22 miles in, and you're thinking you only got 3 miles to go, and oh man, we got this. But this here, back here, if you look real close, I didn't get an actual picture of going up that area because my brain was like starting to just like, it was failing. Everything was starting to fail. But that's the Red Wall Bridge back in there. And when he got to that point, it was very difficult. But even before getting there, this is where we were at, and it was getting tough. This was really getting tough because one of the things, when you get to Manzanita, the nice lady there was like, hey, soak down your hat, soak down your shirt, because you're at the time of the day when you're not getting any shade, and you got all this uphill to do, and it's very, very strenuous, and you need to cool down your core temperature. And you, this is like one of those times you like start to come to yourself, like, okay, now we're really pressing for time, and we cannot stop, but the Lord will carry us through, right? You know, there, even though we've made it, and you can kind of see the end up over there above that Red Wall Bridge, that's still a long journey out. And that's kind of like where this is really probably for me was the halfway point. This was the halfway point. The easy parts, not so much, but this was the halfway point. And I wanted to read this. If I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? God's the help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall not smite thee by day, nor moon by the night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And I know this is speaking to Israel, but I look at this and it kind of like fit in all of the formulas of what was transpiring in this journey here. You know, all these things that the Lord was with me through. And it's just a added reassurance of how God is always wanting to be there for you, and to support you, and to preserve you, and to get you to the safe place, and to help you out of wherever you're at. And you know, there's this sense of accomplishment that you get when you're coming up to this side of the rim, the north rim over here. But you know, all those things that we endured, it's to help us be able to understand who we are and what God has done for us in our lives. And it helped me be able to rely upon him even more than you can imagine at this point, because, you know, this is one of those things that God's goodness is great. And for whatever reason, being able to understand that he's there when it gets very difficult is strength in itself. It's kind of interesting how your body can actually be telling you, hey, you need to stop. But at the same time, like physically stop. We had to like stop physically because of what was happening. Like you're from the knees down, your legs start feeling like pegs of wood. And it's because of, I don't know, it just felt like your muscles just like were done, and they weren't cramping up, but it felt like you were walking on pegs of wood. And you would stand there, and I watched my heart rate go back down from like 165 to about 140. It would take about a minute and a half, and then like the blood would come out of your calves because you're walking up this steep hill, and then you could continue on. So it's interesting, the things that are starting to chemically, physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, all these things are starting to really wear on you when you get to this point. And coming up out of the Red Wall Bridge was actually the hardest part of the rim. And they said that this is the north rim, and this is from the vista. And I would tell Sam and say, hey, there's the top right there. No, it's not. And you're like, what? And you're like, oh my goodness. And you start to get to the point, a lot of us have seen that on TV. You see like the Ironman run triathlons, where these are like, those people are insane. That is something else. But you see them when they're coming towards the finish line, and they just start collapsing and their body's failing, and it's like, you know, this is actually going through your mind like, this might get really bad, you know, I just got to keep pushing. And we got, this still isn't at the top. This is 0.7 miles. This is from the lookout. And because Sam, he was leaning on the rocks, and he's like, all right, and I had 28 minutes. It was 102, and he's like, you got to go. And I was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to get that shuttle. We're going to make that shuttle. And this is when it really was challenging. And I thought, you know, if I just utterly fail, then it is what it is, you know, but I'm going to put everything I've got in this for the last push of this hill. And there was a small group of teenagers. They were probably little early 20s. They were from, I think it was Germany. They were out at the Vista Point, and I'm just like trying to, as we would say from reading some of the books, carry the boats. I was carrying the boats. It's part of a Navy SEAL training, and I was like, I just gotta get into this frame of mind, and I was like, I'll just tag along and follow on the coattails of these young German kids and head up this trail. And they were trudging along, and you know, these switchbacks are 15 degrees going up, and we got like three switchbacks, and they all started shutting down. And I just kept going, and you could tell when somebody's crossed the rim, because like, you know, you're covered in dirt. Like you got, I said to Sam, I said, hey, we got dirt socks now, like tube socks all the way up our legs. And you could tell when somebody's been running across this thing all day. And I just passed them up. And one of the things that, then the unexpected happens, and you know, these mules start coming down, and you're like, oh boy. And you have to get off the trail for the mules, which, you know, you don't want to spook them because it's very dangerous. But one of the things the mules do is they kick up all this silt. And there was three groups of them that were coming down. And at that time, your mouth is wide open and you're pretty much done. And you're sucking in all this dust. And I still got to go. I got to get this shuttle. And then you find the unpleasantries that come with mules on the trail. And when it's 1:20 in the afternoon and it's sunny and hot and you're tired and you're breathing out your mouth, I would tell you that that is one of the most unpleasant things you can smell and have to experience as you're wrapping up, trying to get out of there. It was horrible. It actually made my friend Sam vomit, and he was getting cramps too, so I'll tell you a little funny story about that. He was getting cramps, and we bring mustard, so mustard is one of the tricks. If you're like cramping up instantly, you eat mustard packs, and it'll take away your cramps real quick. And he was cramping up too, and so he was getting out his mustard packs, and he was eating them out. He's like, you gotta go, I forgot to remind you guys of this. And as we got done, I'm going to just resort to the end real quick. I want to talk about that. As we got done, he had mustard all. I was like, hey, you got mustard all over your shirt. And he's like, oh, that's from where I threw up. And I was like, ah. Anyway, sorry. It was really funny. I was like, oh, glad I didn't touch that. But yeah, and you know, this is one of those things that I just knew that I had to keep going and focusing on. And I wanted to read in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We must make the best of what God has given us in our lives. You know, that's one of the things that I've learned on this trip, is there's going to be a lot of difficulty. There's going to be a lot of struggles. And you just got to make the God stay positive. You got to stay positive and you got to keep going. And I don't know if you guys can see it, but when you come out, this is still, I had 0.7 to go, but here's the vista point right back here. When I move the laser, that's actually the San Francisco Peak back there. And that's the South Rim. So that's a little bit further out in Flagstaff, but that way I was like, whoa, because you're actually higher up on the north end than you are on the south end. And it's more difficult to go that way. But one of the things that, as I did make it to the parking lot, but as I was turning the last corner, I was telling my wife, because I called her when I got up there, because the shuttles weren't there, and I was like, ah! But Sam was telling me there's going to be these three really big stone steps. You're going to see those, and you got to get up those steps, and that's going to be the parking lot, and the shuttle buses should be there. And as I was going up, I passed up those young German kids and got up there. And before I got to those steps, probably from here to the back of the chapel here, I was just like overcome with like joy, relief, and emotion of trudging. This is what I'm sharing with you. I was trudging through this, and there was this joy in my heart of, yes, I did it, and it's because it's done, that I was starting to laugh uncontrollably. It was like really an emotional joy that I've never experienced before in my life. And being 52 years old, and for something new that was good, that was joyful, because I got the opportunity and the Lord gave me the capability to do this, I was like kind of how I am right now, but laughing. And I was like becoming emotional about it. And it's hard to put into words. And I think there's a lot of that in us that God has put in there that God wants it to come out. God wants us to be able to, whether it's hiking the Grand Canyon or sharing an experience with a friend, there's these things that are inside of us that a lot of times I feel that we suppress them. And I feel a lot of times that society and the culture and the day-to-day stuff suppresses in us, and we can't, and it doesn't come out. And these things where we put ourselves in these environments where we have that bridge between us and God, that there's all kinds of new things that come out of us that are good, that we can share and that we can have joy in. And it's what God has established for us to be able to understand. God has established those things for us to be able to experience and to understand of His love. We just gotta let it come out. You know, if we go down this devil's corkscrew, whatever it is in our life, man, there's a lot of things. When things get messed up in my life and it starts spiraling out of control, I'm going to call that the devil's corkscrew from now on. We're going down the devil's corkscrew right now. This is getting bad real quick. This is going to a dark place. But one of the things that I know is that God provides so many good things, so many good experiences for all of us to be able to have in our lives. But we have to allow Him to let us be able to have Him in our lives to show us those things. And this hike here, so there's, I was telling Alicia, I was like, man, this is a revenue generator. You know, there's a lot of industry at the Rim, but they have about 5 million people annually that visit the Rim and, or the Grand Canyon. And I looked, because I was looking up some statistics here, less than 1% of the 5 million people a year that go there will do a rim-to-rim hike. I found that very peculiar. And I know that wide is the the gate that leads into destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to God. And I think about that and all the opportunities that there is for failure in a position like this, but I think of, you know, when we focus on God, that as God's children, with the total population of the world, it's, I don't know if it's less than 1% that will actually make it, but boy, it would be interesting to kind of see that statistic of, you know, in the end, you know, what actually happens. And I hope that if it is 1% or less, that you are part of that. And so as I get older, I tell people that, well, I'm going to have to start living vicariously through my kids and watching them experience life and enjoying the joy that they get out of what God puts in their lives for them. There's going to be a time where I can't do this. I know that. There's going to be a time where, you know, I won't be able to see generations, hopefully, of my family, but hopefully, you know, this is something that will touch your hearts, help you be able to understand that God puts so many beautiful things in our lives. And a lot of those things, I think, and I believe, I have experienced that they get suppressed because of all the busyness, all the craziness, and the mundaneness of the world. But, you know, God wants us to be able to have things that he has put inside of us come out and to be shared. And so I'm thankful that I have this opportunity to be able to share that with you. So hopefully God will help you guys be able to see that there is adventure in life and that you'll be able to experience good things and have good things to share with other people that will bring them to God. So God bless each and every one of you, and I thank you for your time.